Well, here we are. It's the last Sunday of the year. Well, it's a church year anyway. We start a new church year next Sunday with Advent. It begins the cycle again. And the final Sunday is, as it says in the front of the bulletin, Christ the King, also called the Reign of Christ Sunday. And it's an opportunity for us to reflect on what it means that Christ is King. And it's an opportunity for us to say, do we really believe that? When we listen to the scripture that was read for us today, the language is very clear that Christ is King. He was King and is King and will be King. And so we look at this and then we look around and it's not unreasonable for us to ask, really? Christ is the King of all of this, of Hurricane or Storm Sandy, whatever it was, when it finally touched ground and disrupted millions of lives and took some. Is Christ the King when, as I was listening to the news this morning, there was another factory fire in Bangladesh. And nobody knows how many people were killed because the building was poorly made, and hard to get out of. It happened several times a year there. And we look at that and we say, well, everywhere I look, I see evidence that Christ is not the King. And I won't dispute that. I won't dispute the fact that we look and we see people who give no evidence of deserving anything other than goodwill don't get it. But it's a truism, bordering on a cliche, that you'll see what you look for. And if you're looking for the evidences, or the, at least the suggested evidence that Christ isn't the King, you'll find it. If you look to see that a gracious God, for reasons that sometimes we find incomprehensible, trusted us with choice to choose poorly, you'll see it everywhere you look. And if that's all you want to see, that is all you'll see. But at the same time, if you're looking for evidence of the reign of Christ, you'll see that too. We live in what's almost a paradox, where on the one hand, we strongly believe, we deeply believe, that Christ's kingship is now. It'll be ultimately fulfilled, whatever that looks like, whenever that happens, in a way that will be unmistakable to everyone. But we believe that it's here now. Our problem isn't with that belief. Our problem is, what does that look like? We would like to see the reign of Christ in the ways that the disciples wanted. We want to see Christ's reign where evil is instantly dealt with, where justice is everywhere, where peace and prosperity are all that anyone knows. The problem with that is that we're still here. And one of the many things that God has given to us, whether in some cases for me, whether I want it or not, is free will. Is the ability to choose what I'm going to do next, whether it's good or bad, right or wrong. We live in a country where the rule of law is seen. We live in a law-abiding country. We have laws that make sense and police to enforce them. But can anybody here say they have never broken any law? Even something as trivial as a rolling stop through a stop sign. But we all have. We've all jaywalked. Hopefully nothing more significant than that. But we look at that. Does that mean that we live in a country that has no laws? Of course not. If we want this all or nothing kind of thinking, it's always going to get us in trouble. For us to say that because I drove too fast or too slow and broke a traffic law, to say that that means that there is no law in Canada is absurd. For us to say that evil that happens on earth means that Christ isn't king is equally absurd. God said, you can be who you choose to be. I'll be here to help you. I will be here to assist you to make those good decisions. But if you choose not to, that doesn't mean that I'm not here. If we choose not to do what our conscience suggests we should, that doesn't mean that we have no conscience. And it also doesn't mean that Christ's reign is impotent or non-existent. Sometimes it's hard to see the reign of Christ, his influence on the world in which we live. Even if we're not those people who are always looking for what's wrong, and there's nothing wrong with a critical eye, or an eye of critique, if you will. But if we're not careful, we'll forget that a couple weeks ago people pulled us out of the ditch. Not because we'd offered them a lot of money, but because that's what they do. They take care of people who have access. They're not professionals at that, they're farmers. They're kind. At this time of year, we frequently see the kindness of people poured out on strangers through food bank donations to those who don't have enough to eat, the money given to the Salvation Army for those who don't have the wherewithal to celebrate a Christmas that most of us will. We see the outpouring of generosity, even more so at this time of year. And when we see that, we see the reign of Christ. When we see that, we see a world where the influence, the positive influence of Jesus is still here, even on people who choose not to follow him, people who choose not to believe in him at all. It's still here. In the same way that our laws are still here, just because some people break them doesn't mean they don't exist. It can be difficult for us when we think about this whole idea of the reign of Christ. We sometimes get wrapped up in this, in an almost exaggerated sense of God's power. Not that it's possible to exaggerate the all-powerful God's power, but we forget how much he's given to us, how much volition he's given to us. And we'll look at things that go wrong, and we say, well, that's his fault. Well, no, it's not his fault. Any more than it's my fault when someone else breaks a law that I support. Any more than it's the law's fault when I drive through a stop sign and get a ticket. Or worse yet, don't get one. The reign of Christ is real. It's not just something that the church made up so we'd have something to think about on the last Sunday of a liturgical year before we move into another one. It's a reminder for us as we move from here into Advent, where the cycle begins again, and where we, starting next week, as we think about Christ coming as a baby, to begin the process of his physical time on earth that culminates in his ultimate coronation on earth, in his resurrection. But we think about his reign at this time so that starting next week we won't forget that it's always been here. That he was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, it says in Revelation. That there's never been a time when Jesus wasn't part of the Godhead and when he wasn't in control. There are times we wish he was more in control. We wish he was a more heavy-handed king. But often it's we wish he was more heavy-handed to somebody else, not us. I think it's just human nature. But the fact that he isn't doesn't negate his kingship ever. And so this Sunday, we remind ourselves that he is the king. Say prayers to that end. We sing hymns to that end. As a reminder that no matter what we see that doesn't immediately suggest his kingship, it doesn't change that reality any more than my trivial or non-trivial breaking of traffic laws or any other law says anything about the existence of the law. Christ is king. We celebrate it today, but it's a reality every day. He is the king, he was the king, and always will be the king. And if we're looking for evidence of it today, it's there for us to see, there for us to celebrate, there for us to enjoy. Amen.